Welcome back to Winning Through Culture. Today I'm here with David Wachter and Tim Flanagan, and we're going to be discussing the integral part of how you can bring faith to work and really what that looks like from an inclusive nature in all faith systems. So David, thanks for being with us.
Well, first of all, I'm honored and very thankful to have the opportunity to chat with two of my favorite people on the face of the earth about one of my favorite subjects, which is how to incorporate a faith life in the workplace. So thank you again for this privilege.
Well, you are very kind.
It's great to have you with us, David.
So let's hop right in. So David, as we've been working to integrate faith inside of our organization, I know you have done a lot of work outside of the firm as it relates to just faith systems in general. And being that our main audience for this podcast is entrepreneurs and helping them stay impactful and relevant, I think this is a great topic to kind of lead into, you know, what would be some of your initial advice or maybe your experience as it relates to the integration as somebody being, you know, a business leader in some way, shape, or form, if they're looking to pull their faith or a faith-based component into their business, what would you share with them?
Well, I think probably to start with, it's really one of our core values of our firm and its authenticity. I think for me personally, I can't separate the faith component of my life from my business life. I just can't do it. And so if you can't do it, then you go with it. So to be authentic and be who you are with your workforce is, I think, the first thing. I would say also that if you're looking to try to incorporate faith in the workplace, be patient. Everybody is kind of on their own journey in their walk towards God or their walk away from God. And as business leaders, I think most of us are impatient. We want to get results immediately. And a person's faith journey just doesn't operate under business terms like that. So I think patience is another piece of that. I think along with that, business owners, business leaders want to quantify everything. And again, faith journeys are hard to quantify. I'll tell a little story about Tim here. When we first started working together, I guess now 5 years ago, and so thankful to have a business leader, a business owner who wants to incorporate faith into the business. And I remember you remarking to me one time, Tim, about not seeing any results from your faith conversations. And I guess kind of chuckled a little bit because it's kind of, I think, very typical of business owners. You implement some sort of a system and you want to see results right away. And at the end of the day, that's not what God is asking us to do. He's just asking us to have conversations, to be authentic, and to let him do his work in his time. So I think those are some things that I would suggest to business owners trying to integrate their faith. The other thing too is just to be where your feet are. I spend a lot of time listening to a guy named Kevin Elko, and I know that's a name that's familiar to Amanda. And you know, he's a inspirational speaker. He is a motivational speaker. And if you drill down into what he says, it's a faith-based type of approach that he takes. And he says all the time, be where your feet are. So when you're working and talking to your employees, to your other firm leaders, give them your full attention, let them see your authentic self and let them know and see that you care for them, which means putting your phone away. Don't look at emails while you're doing Zoom, all those things that we are tempted to do. You just have to stop that and be where your feet are.
David, before we get any further, why don't we take a minute and just talk a little bit about your role in the organization? You know, you are director of our ministry operations. You are the head of our care team involved in Hands and Feet, which is our community service giving back program. But talk a little bit about, if you would, your background, both as a financial advisor and in these capacities, because I do think it's unique and it kind of may provide some color into the rest of the conversation today.
Well, as I said to start with, it's really hard for me to separate my faith journey from my work journey. I am an ordained pastor. I have a master's degree in divinity with an emphasis on biblical studies. And so, you know, studying the Bible and having that be a part of my daily life has been that way for you know, for four decades plus now as an adult. And so to be a financial advisor, a minister of finance, so to speak, I kind of jokingly say to some of my clients who know my background, and by the way, most of them, well, they all know my background. And, you know, money and faith do go hand in hand. So this business that we're in, financial services, lends itself to ministry. And again, when our paths crossed, and I knew your desire and your great desire to have faith integrated into our firm, it just seemed like a perfect match. And to be able to utilize some of my my ministry skills that God has blessed me with and that I've worked hard to develop, it's a perfect fit to be able to integrate that into our firm here.
Yeah, I think one of the things when I share with people, either the work you're doing or the work we're doing as an organization, quite frankly, a lot of times the reaction I get is, what are you, crazy? It's 2021. Don't you know what's going on in the world? How in the world can you even remotely think about integrating faith, talking about faith in a business setting, which is kind of a sad indictment of the times we're in. But I do want to kind of start out by setting the stage for, you know, what does it mean to integrate faith in the workplace? Because we're not talking about the business becoming a religious institution as much as integrating the principles really in an inclusive way, because there are people of many faiths in our organization and in many businesses, and there are people, to your point, of no faith. So what does it mean, in essence, when we talk about integrating faith into a workplace environment?
For me, it's bringing your authentic self. If faith is a part of who you are, then it has to be part of how you present yourself. I had a conversation with a good friend of mine when I got into this industry, and we get into this industry and we create our profile, and I wanted to put on my profile that I was an ordained minister. And he said, hey, don't do that. You're going to scare people off. And I thought about that. And I just said, I can't do that. That's not, I am who I am. And so I decided to incorporate that as part of my, my business profile. But, you know, faith brings a lot of positive things. It's a community builder type of thing. It's a trust builder type of thing. It brings a certain amount of ethical behavior if it's done correctly. It breeds tackling problems head on. A business built on faith principles will also help you tackle problems head on. You can tackle problems with radical candor, talking to people in love and respect. So all of these byproducts of a person who is bringing their faith to the workplace actually builds productivity, and I think builds a performance mindset. So is it dangerous if it's not done correctly? I think it can be very dangerous, but if it's done well, it is a performance enhancer, not a detractor.
Yeah, it can be very impactful.
So one of the things I think is important to note, and Tim mentioned this when he had you share a little bit about your role in our particular organization, is we focus a lot on the care aspect of ministry. So you and I together really team up to make sure that internally we are providing care in a way in which is inclusive and receptive. So I think it would be important to note how we kind of go about doing that. And the question would really be, as you have seen that particular team evolve and the care in which we're able to provide, in the lens of, again, the listenership of this particular podcast, what are some of the like do's and don'ts that you would share with entrepreneurs if they're, again, looking to bring faith into the workplace or have some faith-based components, i.e. for us, that is the evolution of our care team. So can you speak a little bit to that?
Just a couple of thoughts there. First of all, I think the key here is incorporating a person's faith or a leadership team's faith, not leading with it. People don't like to be beat over the head with a Bible, so to speak. So if it's part of your authentic self, that, again, I think is much more palatable. The reality is, whether a person believes in God or not, or has a certain vision of what or who God is or not, we all need care. Everybody is subject to the pandemic. Everybody is subject to death and disease. Everybody is subject to pressure on marriages. Everybody's subject to economic conditions. So there's human commonality that requires care. And everybody needs that care in a different way. So part of the job of our care team is to understand who our people are and how they need care delivered to them. And that takes a wide variety of different forms. For some, it could be just as easy as a text. For others, it can be a phone call. For others, it needs to be an in-person visit. For some, it might be prayer. So our task is to understand who our people are and how can we best deliver some sort of care to them.
And I think, you know, you spoke to just their personal faith journey, right? So everybody's going to be just like in life. It's definitely there's a cyclical model to it. So as you are advancing in one area, there might also be another area of your life that maybe is lacking in some way, shape or form. And we talked a lot about that in our balance core value episode, because we don't expect in any way, shape or form that everything in your life is going to be at an equilibrium or harmony. And that's completely fine. It absolutely, there will be a time and a place where something requires more attention versus something else, but making sure that you're building time for all of those pieces that are valuable to you, right? When you think about at your core, what is really bringing you the most joy and ultimately you seeing yourself having value in the world. And I think faith for us in this particular context really does open itself up for us to have more in-depth conversations with individuals based on what's going on in their personal life, but also their professional life as well. It's a great conversation to have. No matter where somebody is in their journey. And I think it's important to kind of talk through the spiritual and the emotional impacts of having a faith-based system or faith-based components in your workforce or your workplace. So can you talk a little bit about how you've seen the evolution of maybe some of those that you've worked with in this capacity through maybe times of sympathy and or celebration? Because there's that the other side of it too. We want to make sure that we're celebrating individual successes and you know, personal achievements.
Yes. Again, I fully believe that a person with balance is integrating, you know, physical, spiritual, emotional, intellectual. And as you mentioned, at any one particular time, some of that can be out of balance. And part of, I think, my job as a minister and as a leader is to be able to recognize those kind of things and then plug in where needed. And yeah, there's so many examples. I'm thinking about, you know, a saved marriage. So, you know, marriage does affect, or relationships outside of work affect your work life. And having the opportunity to talk and to pray and to work with a particular individual and see that marriage resurrect itself through God's grace, I would argue. And then that person becoming a more productive employee. Same thing with people who are burned out in their careers or just feel like they have no energy to do the job anymore, or having had some setbacks in their career, and to just to be with them, as I said, to be with them, be where your feet are, and just let them have an opportunity to lean on somebody else. I've seen that so numerous times. And there was one particular case, and this goes back several decades in a previous life, of a man who was going to get fired. I mean, his attitude, his performance, he was a cancer in our organization. And for whatever reason, they said, all right, D-Walk, it's time for you to work with this guy. And we wound up just starting from him just berating me and treating me like just in the worst way that you can imagine to 2 years after that. You know, he cried when I left because I was willing to put the time in to help him through what was obviously going on in his life that was affecting his work life. So yeah, spiritual and emotional things are huge when it comes to keeping our workforce productive.
Well, in that example, you know, you were able to meet him where he was. Now, he wasn't in a good place, and not that you let that impact you significantly, but you were able to be in that moment, again, going back to your comment about being where your feet are, and helping him realize that his energy at that point in time in a negative light was being misplaced on you, but you were there as a constant to help him work through it. And I think that's one of the most important aspects of care. And when we're talking about, you know, integrating a faith-based component, it doesn't mean that every single person is going to have the same religious beliefs, but ultimately at the end of the day, there is that structure to say, you know, I am me, you are you, and I am here to meet you where you are. And as much as you're willing to have that conversation with me, I'm willing to have that conversation with you. And it doesn't always have to be in a religious context. And I think that's important to note. Again, we're talking about faith-based systems, getting to know the person and being able to share in the experience that they're going through, and then helping them work to a place of whether it is balance, if we want to use that word, or just, you know, resiliency in their cycle, where they are at that particular moment, is extremely important.
Yeah, and what you said is so true. It doesn't necessarily have to be a religious or a religious discussion or a religious interaction. Ministry oftentimes is secular, and you know, and it's sometimes a dirty business, and it's a grind, and it takes so many different forms. And so to label it with a particular religion can sometimes be a little bit dangerous. Obviously, I'm coming to it from a Judeo-Christian mindset. But one of the things I love to do is interact with those who don't have the same faith system that I do. I find that to be quite refreshing, and to respect other people's belief systems and to try to understand their belief systems, I think goes a long way into creating that authentic atmosphere where ministry can take place.
Absolutely.
David, you've talked about some specific situations. I'm curious, you know, given the winning through culture title of this podcast, I mean, how have you seen cultures in businesses positively impacted by someone being willing to take the risk and do the work to bring their authentic self and elements of their faith into business?
Well, again, as I mentioned, I think it's what it does is it builds community. It builds the idea that you're part of something bigger than yourself. And, you know, I can speak from my own experience having, you know, been in organizations where that wasn't the case, where, you know, you were literally showing up for a paycheck, you know, looking over your shoulder to who was coming up behind you to stab you in the back type of deal. And I think when you're able to do this well, you're building a community that really does care for each other. You're building a vision that goes beyond yourself. And there's a certain trust element there that is so important to that. And again, the byproduct at the end of the day, the byproduct is actual better performance. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, we are in business to make money. That is not a non-biblical or
non-changed.
Right. And if people are willing to try this, I think they'll see better performance.
So neither one of us are an attorney, and I know this is a topic that comes up, but, you know, recognizing neither one of us are attorneys, so we're not going to give any legal counsel here, but what are some of the legal considerations you've heard people express concern about as it relates to integration of faith in the workplace?
Yes, I'm not an attorney, for sure. Again, I haven't encountered much resistance as it related to legal type of things. And I think there's a couple of reasons for that. As I said, I don't lead with religion. I don't lead with my faith. I incorporate that as part of my everyday activity. I know I'm going to interact with 10 to 20 people a day in some fashion. And my job is to show up as my most authentic self and to be the best image of God I can be. And if you do that, maybe the conversation will turn to God, maybe it won't, but at least I can honestly say that I've done my best to represent our firm with our employees and with our clients the best possible. The other thing I think is important is to seek out those who you know don't believe the same way that you do. You know, when I joined this firm, I knew there were those who did not have the same belief system that I did, and I made it a point to befriend myself with those people and start to develop a relationship with them. So I think that's an important piece. And the other thing too is at the end of the day, there's a lot of commonality of belief systems. If you emphasize the commonality of those belief systems, you can, I think, thread the needle in terms of being your authentic self, emphasizing the commonality.
Yeah, the human condition transcends religion. and it transcends whether one believes in a higher power or not. I mean, the human condition is the human condition, and I think we all are wired to be treated in a manner that's respectful, loving, and ultimately be a people to be heard and understood and feel accepted and a part of a broader community. That's just the wiring that is in us. And a lot of what you're talking about really speaks to a person like that, as opposed to them being a number or, you know, a production unit or a profit or loss center. It speaks to them as a human being and talking into them as a human being in the place where you spend most of your waking hours at work does definitely unleash a different dynamic and a different, really a different person.
And let me say one other thing again towards the legal piece too is, you know, I think we all have probably, I haven't experienced it, but we hear of people who have preached the gospel message in the workplace, and that's what gets them in trouble. And I would just, you know, point out that one of the great patriarchs of the Christian faith, St. Francis of Assisi, it's been attributed to him. He said, preach the gospel always, use words only when necessary. You can be effective in preaching without ever saying a word.
How you show up. Who you are. To an entrepreneur, a business owner listening to us today that has a desire in their heart to try and find a way to share a little bit more of themselves authentically and who they are from a faith perspective. I mean, what are some of the steps to take from both, you know, we'll start at the most basic.
Yeah, again, I would just again reiterate, be where your feet are so that people can see your authentic self. Embody the servant leadership mindset, a spirit of humility, and I'm not better than anybody else. I'm here to serve something greater than myself, just like you are. I mean, those are kind of foundational things, I believe. And, you know, obviously they're more philosophical instead of recipe driven. I think seeking out those who you know are going to be naysayers or who are of a different belief system, it's always important to do that and to honor their belief systems, to ask questions about them and truly try to understand how it is that they view life. If you set those kind of foundational things and you seek that commonality, then I think you can take some of the steps that we've taken, which is, for example, to do some short, you know, we'll call them mini devotionals, you know, 30 seconds to 1 minute to maybe 2 minutes of incorporating some piece of scripture. And you've heard me do this numerous times. I almost always go to the Hebrew Bible to do that. The common document that most religious, you know, Christians, Jews, and Muslims would at least agree that that is inspired scripture. So why not use that document to start setting something that's more concrete, more specific? I think implementing some sort of a care team is also something that can be very, I don't know what the right word is, soft or non-confrontational, I guess is really the best word. Because again, everybody needs care at some time. Somebody's going to need it. And then of course, that requires then having people willing to participate in that. And I think that's also good. I think one of the strengths of our care team is that we've got, it's more than just me. It's more than just Amanda. It's more than just you. We've got a team of people who are committed to being something bigger than themselves. And I can speak for myself, but I think I speak for the others on that team. When you start to do this kind of work, we'll call it ministry at in the office place, you wind up being the one that's blessed. You wind up being the one that's ministered to through your own actions. And there's something very exhilarating about that. And so those are some specific things I think that can be done.
Yeah, the idea of a care team is probably not something most people are familiar with. I mean, what are some of the things a care team does weekly?
Amanda's done a great job in precisely writing down our protocols, because one thing that can happen is something like this can turn into a gossip party quite quickly and easily. So we have some very strict protocols on things that we're going to address. And it's not just the care, by the way, is not just when somebody is suffering. Care also is an aspect of celebration, which, you know, when somebody gets married, somebody has a new baby, we try to celebrate that, and we have some protocols on that, as well as if there's a death in the family or a sickness or an illness that we find out about. And again, we need to be very careful, and maybe this touches on some of the legal aspects. We're very careful about communicating those kind of personal details, because not everybody wants to have that kind of stuff in a company newsletter, for example. So, but having a close-knit and controlled protocol with Amanda and me and a couple others kind of being the gatekeepers for that, we can deliver those text messages, those phone calls, those gifts, those flower arrangements for a funeral, all those different things in a very personal way, and also being very respectful of a person's privacy.
And I think two things just to note as it relates to the care team, and David, you're very gracious. Yes, it has definitely been a team effort. And when we decided to put that group together, it was an invitation for those individuals to say, I would like to participate, and I understand the confidentiality that comes along with it. And again, we were very prescriptive with, this is exactly how the care team will react when a situation occurs. And there are some things we can be proactive with, which are great. But in that particular context, we have a process to follow. And I think that is very important. And it would look different for every organization, but we know exactly who's going to make an outreach when there is a death in the family, as an example. We know exactly, you know, if there is a communication, we ask the individual for that situation, is this something you would like communicated? Some people say yes, some people say no, and that is totally fine. We meet the person where they are. And I think that's really important to note. And the other part that I think is crucial if you're putting together a care team in any form or fashion is that there's some type of education for that team on how to deal with situations that are common. So when we brought that team together, we actually did an offsite half day training and worked through sympathy and celebration. And again, how to meet the person where they are and contextually how you have that dialogue and are able to support them, whether it is going again in a faith-based area or if it's just simply being a shoulder to cry on or somebody to listen. How do you effectively do that in a way in which is respectful and also is comforting and eventually helpful for that person to work through their grief if it is in a time of sympathy? And on the other side, if it is in celebration, I mean, I love nothing more than to be able to send a message because somebody got engaged or had a baby. Like, that's wonderful. And it's just that additional connectivity. And as David mentioned, you know, we're a community, we're a family. And at the end of the day, you get together when there's something really happy and big to celebrate. And you also get together when there's something that's not so happy to celebrate. And so we just personalized that and made sure that our care team had tools and resources to work within. So they weren't like, how do I have this conversation? What do I say? What do I do? Again, they were volunteering to be part of this. So those are just a couple of pieces that I would note as well.
So as we think about, again, a business owner, entrepreneur that's not necessarily ventured down this road, what are some of the resources, and I'll ask David, both you and Amanda, that you would recommend someone be turning to learn more beyond this podcast?
Well, I think to employ an outside professional chaplaincy service is a really smart and good idea. We use Marketplace Chaplains. We'll give them a shout out here on this podcast. There are other organizations that do similar type work. These chaplains are especially trained to handle people in crisis. And that's actually another thing for us to understand. There comes a point in time when, you know, we as leaders need to step away and allow people space to seek that kind of spiritual counsel and counseling outside of the workplace. And so to have somebody like Marketplace Chaplains come alongside the efforts that we have started is an important piece.
I'll add David to that. I mean, we've been working with them now for more than a decade, maybe 15 years. And that was an outgrowth of me finding myself in a situation that was way beyond my capacity to handle it. And I went to one of my mentors, And he suggested that we engage with them, which I did, you know, for the specifics of that situation we were having in our office with one of our staff people whose spouse passed away actually on a business trip. And yeah, they came in kind of on an emergency basis, and then we formed a relationship with them. But there have been so many things since then that are way beyond really even what's appropriate for me as a business leader to be getting involved in, that we've been able to make connection. And again, it's the employee teammates' decision as to whether they want to engage, but that's a great resource to transfer, you know, the professional side of things to.
Yeah, and that's an important piece. You know, there's a difference between this kind of ministry care that we're talking about and clinical counseling care. And that's an area, again, from a legal standpoint, that is important to recognize and to probably err on the safe side if you feel like you're out of your league. And you know, that's something for sure. Actually, any minister feels that obligation to know it's time to get somebody that's a specialist.
I think it's important to note that from an HR perspective, and that's not something we talk a ton about on this podcast, but it's definitely a consideration. I know we said earlier that none of us are attorneys, but in the world of HR, there's lots of resources available. I think it would be important. There are local, you know, SHRM chapters across the country that you can look into. They have toolkits as it relates to incorporating religion and practices into the workplace and give you some guidance on how to effectively do that. So there is membership to something along those lines that you absolutely can partake in. And then there is the need for an employee assistance program. And David, I believe that's what you were referencing there. So those are corporately driven most often, but that is where, you know, you do have a confidential source in which someone can go to access for support and for whatever situation they might have. If you don't already have an established, as we do here with Marketplace Chaplains, we have that relationship already as well. So we have an EAP program. We have the Marketplace Chaplains program. We have an internal care team. We really have kind of covered the gamut of how and when someone would expect or need care. And then on the other side, you know, you do have that confidentiality and separation. So if somebody was to go to the EAP program, that's different, right, than them engaging with an associate that's physically in the firm. So keep that in mind, that there are resources out there, local chapters as it relates to, you know, HR items that you can invest in and be part of and glean a lot of acknowledgement and also just support from.
Yeah, I think adding to the list of resources is C12, which is a national organization. It is Christian business owners. And there are chapters all over the country. And I've been a member now since 2013. Wow. And so I've learned a great deal from the small group I meet with on a monthly basis there. They've got great content, great resources that have been super impactful and helpful to me to learning, you know, how to do this the right way, in the sense that we bring people in and really, truly, again, create that community, create the trust, create the relationship, lift people up, as opposed to try and use it as a platform to, as you said, David, hit them over the head with the Bible. And there's nothing wrong with the Bible. I read it every day like you do. But there's, again, I think there's that misnomer when you talk about faith in the workplace that we're somehow, you know, literally kind of running a church-like organization simultaneously with the business. And that's not at least what it is to us. It's more, you know, how do we speak to people as human beings and lift them up as a person and help them become a better version of themselves.
Well, and it's our focus on the complete person and faith in whatever aspect that relates for a person is part of them. And we want to make sure that we're helping them win at life. And that means all aspects that are important to them. And then one thing, actually, when you were talking, Tim, about C12 that just came to mind, and this is a great, what I would consider a self-service resource. You know, we have partnered with Right Now Media at Work. And for those that have seen Right Now Media in your actual church life, there is a at work program that they have. It's an online library content. There's over 20,000 videos, work streams, study guides, along with either, you know, verbal, more podcast-like content, all the way down to actual books where you can read through and actually have a guide to really assess what you're reading and what you're absorbing and how that plays a role in your everyday life. And I would highly recommend it that if, you know, that is something of interest to you, it has been a valuable resource to us. It covers the, I would say, the spectrum of life events and things that individuals might be either celebrating or struggling with. And that is something from a self-study standpoint that it, you could sign up for your company or small business and be able to give access to, and then the associate can really consume that information when and where it makes sense for them. Again, that's confidential as well. You would not receive like this person logged in and this is what they looked at. It is not like that at all. It's just simply a library of content. You can actually create your own channel to kind of direct people to certain pieces that are on there, but it has some wonderful business development opportunities as well. Content from Patrick Lencioni and so many other authors. So it really gives the full spectrum. So that's definitely another resource I wanted to make sure that I mentioned.
That's good. And there are many more, I know, but
yeah, we didn't scratch the surface.
Yes, exactly. But three great places to start. You know, the Marketplace Chaplains and a chaplaincy program, because again, part of their responsibility is to help a business owner figure out how to do all this without, you know, the benefit of a care team and someone like a David in the organization. Certainly C12, that's the primary mission, and a platform which we learned about through C12 Right Now Media. There's some amazing content that you can use for all kinds of purposes in your business. Any final thoughts, guys, as we come to a close here today?
I would just say this, doing this kind of stuff doesn't really take any kind of special skill set. Ministry is from the heart, from the spirit. And if you're willing to put the time in and willing to do the grind, then you can be effective in caring for your people, mind, body, and spirit.
I would just say at the end of the day, focus on the person. And, you know, even if you can take just one, you know, one step forward in this particular dialogue and integrating faith into, you know, your workplace, that it really will come back to you tenfold. And if nothing else, you can start as simple as, again, you know, creating an internal care team, you know, if associates that are willing to reach out in times of sympathy or in celebration. And that's a great first step if you don't have maybe the capital to invest in some of the other resources that we're talking about, but just making sure that there is a place and a time for which people can have a relatable conversation, whether that's faith-based, religion-based or not.
Yeah, I would just add that, you know, on the surface, this topic may seem challenging, but as you get into it and you realize what you're really talking about is how do you treat people with dignity, respect, love, and care and concern. You know, you hear people all the time in business say, oh, you know, people are our asset. Well, I think it's, you know, it's beyond that. People are people. And a business, a successful business is made up of successful people. Who are contributing to a common cause, a common mission and vision that have some alignment of values. And when you have that, it's important that you care for that. And the only way you can care for that is to care for each person individually. And so this intersection of bringing one's authentic self and, you know, again, as a leader, if you don't have a faith life, the first thing to do is formate that. There's nothing, you know, more important than that. But once it's formated, and you have a semblance of faith life, my encouragement is don't try to compartmentalize it and say that it's going to stay, you know, in church on Sunday or out of the office. You know, I'll live it before I get to work and I'll live it after I get to work, because that's not very authentic. And in the end, that doesn't speak to the heart of who we all are as human beings. And I have personally found as a business owner that by taking this path, it does follow the hard, easy path. The hard way becomes the easy way. But now, because we've formulated this type of community and this type of environment in our business, I believe the business does, to your point, David, perform at a much higher level. We have much more engaged people. Again, I would take you know, the Best Places to Work award that we win somewhat consistently at this point. as a marker of that from a secular perspective, at least. And we are very blessed to have very good retention of the folks that are a part of our organization. And again, I think it's because we've created a community that not only lets them be successful in business, but cares about them as people. So that is a winning combination. It's not necessarily easy to achieve. And it certainly isn't a destination you arrive at and stay static in. It's a daily endeavor to continue to earn that and to continue to cultivate that. But something you said, David, at the very beginning of this was something my mentor, Ivan Heinrich, said to me about 3 years into running this business. He saw me struggling mightily. And he said, "Tim, your job is to sow the seeds. That's your job." And so that made sense to me back then, because I was striving to not only sow the seeds, but make sure the plants grow in a very healthy way. And his point was, is God's going to take care of that aspect, but you've got to sow and cultivate the seeds, focus on that. And that's really what bringing your faith into your business and inculcating a culture of caring about people does, is it allows the seeds to be sown, and it allows us to cultivate the seeds and let people really flourish and become who they are and who God meant them to be. So this has been another episode of Winning Through Culture. I am so happy that you joined David Wachter and Amanda and I today to talk about a topic that, yes, can be a little controversial, but hopefully now you see that what we're really talking about is care and concern for one another and helping our employees and our associates be the best version of themselves and creating an environment to help them win at life and to bring their whole person to work every day and to be authentic as they do that. So thank you again for joining us. Until we are together again, make it a great day.